Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, who's this?
This is Dan Schneider.
Hey. I just made
this
one.
Yeah, I did.
I just created it because I thought we might get cut off on the time.
Yeah.
We only have maybe like 20 minutes on this one, but I just created it right after the other one. I thought this might happen.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like we may get, like, Laird might call in, and maybe Jimmy and Seuss might call back.
Yeah, Seuss said he might, but I'm just bored, and we don't have school. I don't have work tomorrow, so I'm just not really doing anything. And that'd be fun to keep talking.
Yeah.
Let's see who else we got here. Hey, who's this? Seuss, all right. Now, we don't have a ton of time on this one. Don't they give you another 15 minutes, is that right, after the stream has ended?
They give you 15 after the stream, so they boot you. If you've signed up for half an hour, it boots you at 45.
Okay, right. That's what I thought. I just wanted to double check.
Yeah.
But I started this one at 10:30. I forgot about the extra time. Let me get our next caller. This Laird, who's this?
Muzak,
hey man.
Hello.
So we have about 25 minutes on this stream right here. But I guess Lane's not on here. Well, anyway, just to wrap up that last thing we're talking about, I don't think that it's outrageous to get cheaper. I guess just in the past, and maybe you guys have noticed this. Have you guys noticed, like, last year, I always tried to get as cheap as possible, like, by all means, get as cheap as possible. But then, like, last year, I had so much money that I just, like, it was almost just like I didn't mean to, but I just spent, like, all my money on, like, two or three guys, and I just, like, had so much money that I ended up getting guys I didn't want. And so now I'm kind of just trying to get value where it is. But do you guys find that happens sometimes in the brain? Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, Phil? It's Laird.
Okay, cool. You guys feel that way? Like, if you have too much money sometimes, do you ever feel like you're in power because you can bid guys up, or do you feel like you spend it, or?
I know in last year's draft, I ended up with like $35 at the end, and I didn't like that. So I actually think if you can keep a player in the mid to high 20s and he's actually worth keeping at that price, I think it's more valuable to have than a $6 keeper that maybe will produce, you know, in the low teens, because you can find those types of players in the draft fairly easily, but you can't find players that you're going to spend $25 on in the draft that are going to return value for you. So if you have the opportunity to keep a player like that, I would do it. And that's actually why I was trying to trade you for Cruz and Encarnacion. I just felt like those were high-priced players that are going to return value, and it's just hard to find those anymore. So, I would rather have an expensive keeper list that was going to get value than a cheap keeper list that was going to get the same amount of value, in other words.
Laird, yes or no, would you keep Yoenis Cespedes at 29?
If he was on my roster that I have right now, he would be one of the first left off. But if you would have been on my roster that I had at the beginning of the offseason, I would have kept him. Yeah, no problem.
All right. I think over time what has happened in this league sometimes is that there's a lot of people that are sitting there trying to go so low, try to get that thing down to as low as they possibly can, and then they get into the draft and they've got all this money to spend, and if they don't spend it early – on players and get the money out, then about an hour and a half into the draft, those teams are all getting into a money fight for players that probably aren't worth getting into a money fight over. So that's where I see that at. It's like, you know, so it seems like early in the draft, a lot of the elite players are thrown out, and you can get away with maybe overspending by $2 or $3 on those guys because they're really good. But then you get an hour, hour and a half in, and you need a first baseman, and so do the other five guys at the table that still have $175 left to spend, and then all of a sudden it turns into a money fight for a guy that you could have kept in the offseason for 20 or 25 bucks, because that's not the way a lot of people in this league think, is that they everybody thinks $6, $11, I got to keep this thing cheap, I got to go into the draft with $200. And like Laird said, if there's value there, it's still value. It's just, if you're going to add marquee pieces to your offense, are you going to spend $35 at the draft table, or are you going to spend $29, $32 on a guy and maybe save yourself a couple of bucks? It's not great, and you're not getting a ton of plus value, but what you're doing is you're eliminating your need to get into a money fight on draft day for an elite piece of your offense that you're going to need anyway. So it's double ways of looking at things. In the past, I've done it both ways. I've gone into the draft before with some guys that are probably a little overpriced to be kept in the way that this league thinks, and then I've gone in with the super cheap list and tried to wander my way through the remaining money fights and get the pieces that I need. So unless you're blessed with an unbelievable keeper list, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think guys, they start, what was it last year? Was it like Micah Johnson bid up to like something like 14 or 15 or 16 or something like that?
Well, that was me gouging Nitz. I was mad at him for the last, him and Foy both, like in the last hour of the draft, both had a bunch of money to spend, both had a bunch of spots, and they were getting to a point where they were running prices up and ultimately not getting anyone. And I just got mad, and I knew that Nitz would overpay for Micah Johnson. He did. And then, so that was me just price gouging on Micah Johnson, because I knew he would go wherever he had to go. He had a bunch of money left and nothing to spend it on. So I was responsible for that one, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, too, we may have already even talked about this, but how about Craig Kimbrell going from like $7 to $30 just out of nowhere? So you just...
No, seven. It was $30 from the start. The very first thing he said was $30.
Is that what it was?
He called out his name.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then just crickets then after that.
Yeah, he didn't say...
No, it wasn't crickets. It was Paul yelling at us all for being stupid and not bidding more. Oh, keep doing it! Okay, keep doing it.
So yeah. You never know what someone is going to... I mean, it's hard to predict any time what a guy is going to go for in the draft. Because all it takes is someone reading some article or, you know, whatever about how this guy is going to be the Cy Young, and all of a sudden, boom, one guy is paying $30 for Craig Kimbrell when he probably would have easily gotten him for, you know, 15 to 20.
I remember when, like, the highest paid closer was, like, low 20s, you know, like 21 or 22 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then... I think you're right, though. Like, I guess I'm just tired of, like, getting into the draft. Like, I would rather pay for guys on my keeper list, even if I'm paying a little bit more for them. Because, like Laird said, you know what you're going to get. I know what I'm going to get out of Edwin Encarnacion, Nelson Cruz. I'm going to pay more for them, but I'd rather not throw them back in or something. You know, when I get into the draft, I don't want to pay $26 for someone that I just have to have because I don't have that position anymore. I'd rather just take the value I can get now and not worry to get bid up by someone stupid or someone who else is desperate in the draft. So.
Yeah,
I remember a time in the bake when closers did go for the 30s, and this was back in like 03, 04, 05 range when ERAs were average. Like if you had an ERA in the threes, you were a good starting pitcher. So,
dude,
it predates
all of you guys in this league, but I can go back in the Wayback Machine and find league documents where early in the draft, guys like Mariano Rivera and Joe Nathan, when Joe Nathan was good, would go for $40. So the closer thing in this league has gone like a roller coaster. We've had it go way too high, and then it seemed to go down a couple of years ago where you could get middling to mediocre closers for $10 to $15 in the draft. And thanks to Paul, it spiked up a little bit last year, but it's been all over the place. And that's what makes it so difficult when you don't have any is if you're one of these people that believes that you can't really punt a category and you need balance, if you go into the draft with no closers anymore, it's going to be difficult for you to come out of that draft with two legitimate closers without breaking the bank in the process.
And it's an albatross that hangs over your head, too, when you have that going. It's like, I got to get this at some point. So you're afraid to spend in other categories. But I thought I remembered a year where Rob Nin was kept at $40.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I don't think that's crazy. I think that happened.
Rob Nin.
I also think with the way the last couple of years have gone, I really don't think it is at all possible to punt categories anymore. I mean, you look at Phil ended with 154 points. So if you punt one category, and even if you get, you know, 20 in all the rest of them, you're still, I mean, with the way that there's so much, you know, the top teams are in the 150s and 40s and 30s, and then you got Shore with 13 points. You just can't. I don't think you can punt categories anymore. You can't afford to. Because if you look, even if you look back, even if you look back to like 2000. Let's see, how far does it go back? 2010. We'll just look at. You know, the winner of the league had 112 points, and fifth place had 81. And then this year, Phil had 154. And
yeah, but how many teams were in the league in 2010?
I think we were at 16.
17 teams.
Yeah.
Okay, so 17 times 8, that would have been 136, if my math is right, on the max. So, I mean, it's not – I mean, it is a lot lower. Yeah, it is a lot lower than you know, somebody getting 154 out of 160.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think, you know, with the way, at least it's even changed just in the 3 years that I've been in the league. I feel like there's becoming more and more separation between the top teams and the bottom, and teams are just selling out, you know, within the first month of the season. I just don't see it. I really don't think it's possible anymore to punt a category. I could be wrong, but you know, maybe you could get in the top five. But I don't think he had any chance to win the season.
Well, I think the 154 might have been a little bit extreme, but
yeah,
I don't necessarily think you can straight on punt, like finish last in a category. But I mean, you could do what I call what Jimmy did once, which I call as a modified punt. Like he did just enough in saves to stay ahead of the real garbage. And then traded all of his closers away. So
right.
He ended up with like 5 or 6 points in the category, and that was enough because it kept him ahead of the people that had no closers and weren't getting any because they weren't in the race, but kept them away from the 1 point category, and that helped. So, I mean, I don't think you can straight punt, I think is what you're saying, and I agree with that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I want to go back to this closers thing. I sincerely think if you don't go into the draft, if you don't have at least one closer, if not two, like you're going to get hosed. Like either you're not going to get any or you're going to end up paying like $20 for, you know, like
It was hilarious. Was it last year that Garrett paid like $18 for Jim Johnson, I think, and then Johnson just wow.
That's like the one time he ever paid for a closer, too.
Right.
Like the one thing. So funny to me. It's totally funny. What an idiot.
I got no problems. I've got the great Mark Melanchon. And says new pictures to post whenever he gets a save.
Yeah, that never got old, just so you know.
It didn't get old because it was awesome.
No, I actually did enjoy it just because it was Garrett, right? Who traded?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was
our ridiculous three team closer trade where I don't think anybody really greatly, but Garrett was just so sure he was done. So I traded him an Indian, and then literally the minute after I traded him, he blew a save. But he wasn't on my team yet because it wasn't the end of the week. But as soon as he got on my team, he rattled off 24 consecutive saves. Which was just fantastic.
Oh, so funny. Well,
yeah. I wish Garrett. It was kind of funny. I wish he was on the podcast because he offered me. He actually offered me a trade. It was really close to what we ended up agreeing on. And we had been talking about this trade now with the Arrieta deal. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks, and we've been kind of close at a couple different points. And I think I was trying to figure out a way to make it happen without giving up Todd Frazier. But anyway, he offered me a trade this morning, and it was pretty similar to what we ended up agreeing on. But I countered and then called him. And when I called him, he picked up the phone, and, like, I could tell, you know, he had just woken up, and he was, like, half asleep. And I'm like, hey, you know, I just offered you this trade. Take a look at it. It's pretty close to what you offered me. And then he's like, literally like seconds later, he's just like, I accepted. And then just, that was kind of the end of the conversation. He was just like, all right, I'm going back to sleep. And like, and that was it. So
still doesn't just happen, basically. He probably still doesn't realize what happened. He's going to wake up and not have Arrieta on his roster anymore.
Is Garrett ever going to go on baseball trip, Seuss?
What?
Is he ever going to go on baseball trip?
Well, I mean, he's so flighty with things. I mean, last year he claimed he was in. I have not talked to him about it yet this year. I think it would be hilarious if he went, but he's never committed to me on that. He said he wanted to last year, and then his boss wouldn't give him the time off because he was taking another vacation shortly there before or after, whatever it was. So it didn't work out. But I don't know.
That won't be a problem this year. He's already got his vacation in.
Yeah, exactly. But so what is your keeper list look like now, Dan? Because I didn't get an update today after the trade. I need the constant update.
That's not true. I didn't give you an update.
I must not have seen it. That, my apologies then. So
I can post it.
But I don't know. The only keeper list I know better than my own is Kenny's. And then now I'm a little confused about yours because of the trade today. That's all.
Yeah, well, go ahead and look at the Facebook page. It's on there plenty. You won't have any trouble finding it.
Okay.
Laird, speaking of that, I do think it's kind of, I mean, I really don't understand why, if you're trying to make a deal, which I was, clearly, why would you not, you know, post it for everyone to see? I've made pretty much every trade I've made this entire off season came as a result of me posting my list and letting people know, you know, what I'm interested in doing. So I don't understand.
Well, I don't know how or why it happened, but whenever there's a post in the Bake McBride League, my phone lets me know. I don't think I set that option. I think it's just my phone realizes that's the page I go to the most, and like it does it for me. And so I'll be sitting around, and my phone will go off, and I'll be like, ooh, a message. Somebody posted in the Bake. All right. And I'll open it, and somebody posted their stupid list. And it's like, God damn it. And so then I, you know, it's like I just wasted. So I just get frustrated with all these just inane I know what your keeper lists are. I'm keeping it updated, so it's like, I don't know. Maybe I'm more anal than other people about it, but I just don't care.
Yeah, I really don't think there's any reason, you know, I don't know if I've ever posted it just to say, hey, this is what I'm keeping. You know, if I post it, there's usually the only reason I'm doing it is because I'm trying to make a deal, and it's most of the time when someone asks you, approaches you about a trade, they're going to say, what's your list look like? Who do you have? And so it just saves time to just post it. They've got it right there in front of them, and it just makes it a lot easier rather than, you know, them having to look through my roster and find prices. So
would they do that, though? I mean, if you're talking about making a trade, are they going to go to the page and, like, scroll down and find your list and copy it and, like, memorize it? They're just going to ask you in chat anyway.
Plus, that's just why I post it. It's right there. Everyone can see it. And then, you know, I never am the one, like, reaching out to them, really, because I post it and then let people know, this is what I'm trying to do. If you have interest, you can message me. And then they'll, you know, obviously have already looked at the list.
Is it that much more convenient to just go to the Facebook page than it is to go to the spreadsheet that we have?
I think so. When the list is right in front of you. And I mean, what I'm saying is that, I mean, I guess I could just make a post and say, I'm interested in making a deal, message me. But when the players are right there in front of them and they don't have to go to the spreadsheet and look up the prices per player.
I agree with Dan.
I can see how that's not easier.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, sometimes I'll look at a list that someone's posted, and I know that, say, for example, someone that I might be interested in is on their roster, and they haven't posted that person as somebody that they're going to keep. So then that immediately puts my antenna up to, hey, that guy doesn't value that guy as much as I do. Maybe I can get him from him. And if that list isn't posted, then I don't know. And, I mean, I'm not one of these people that's going to relentlessly contact everyone in the league and go, you know, want to make a trade? So sometimes that gives me the nudge that I need. If someone posts that list and there's a guy on there that I know that's on their team that I'm interested in, it'll be like, well, wait a minute, he's not even thinking about keeping him at this point. Maybe I can get him. So then
that's how I get the action.
That's funny that you mentioned that, actually, Seuss, because I posted my list maybe a few weeks ago, and Laird messaged me and ended up trading for Nick Hundley, who wasn't even on my list. So that exact thing, you know, like you said, I mean, that's why almost without fail, whenever I post my list, I immediately get messages from, you know, X number of crazy bastards wanting to make a trade. So it works.
Well, I mean, you could just comment on a previous list that you have posted and update it rather than, you know, because you've probably posted your list 3 or 4 times, posted his list 5 or 6 times. You can just add a comment to your current or your old list and then put your new list on the comment.
I could do that, but then what are you going to complain about?
And now he knows that you've complained about it, so that's only going to increase the frequency of the amount of damn blitz. So,
right. Well, I'm curious about this.
And you also are painting this like this is a big waste of. You're also painting this as like this is a big waste of all your valuable time. You waste buckets of time, so you can just shut that shit off right now.
Just out of curiosity, would anybody else keep Nick Hundley at 6, or am I just the only one in the league that thinks he's worth keeping at 6?
I actually thought about throwing him on the – and I don't know why I didn't. I actually thought about putting him on that list, but then for whatever reason, I shied away from it just because I knew somebody was going to chime in with, you know, maybe it was Phil posting the puke video or fart noise or whatever. And I don't know why that scares me at all, but I try to at least, you know, put guys on there who are somewhat decent, I think, as opposed to Jimmy, who I feel just he will post anyone and everyone. So I don't think Hundley, to answer your question, I don't think that's, you know, a terrible, terrible keep, especially being a catcher.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's hitting in Coors, and he had, you know, he hit 300 last year. He's a 249 hitter, but it doesn't matter. He hits in Coors, and okay, but I mean, he'd probably go for. Don't you think he'd probably go for around that in the draft?
Yeah, I think he'd go for around that, and it could, you know, it's just again a situation where somebody might need a catcher, and all of a sudden it kind of goes for $12. So.
Gosh, I hope not.
I mean, yeah, if he wasn't a catcher, he's not worth keeping at all. I mean,
right.
Clearly.
Yeah, I agree.
It also depends on your list, Laird. I mean, if you have space for him or if you have a need, I mean, it's $6. I mean, you can't really go wrong there. But
yeah, he was free. I can't remember the piece of crap I gave for him, but it wasn't anything that I was going to keep. I literally gave up nothing for him, and he's kind of tacked on. He's right narrowly ahead of John Papelbon at number 7 on my list right now, but I mean, he's just – I mean, I if I go into the year keeping Nick Hundley, I'm perfectly fine with it.
I want to look, actually. I can't remember now who you gave me, but whoever it was, I remember thinking, like, yeah, I mean, I guess I'd rather have him than Hundley, but I don't remember who it was now. I'm going to look.
Was it Marco Estrada?
FYI, this is about to expire, this episode, but I created a new one, so – We'll have to transfer over, but it's like in another 10 or 15 minutes after that. I don't know if you guys are still going to be up or if you're still bored or if you're going to bed or what.
Yeah, I mean, I will if we've got a few people to do it.
I never go to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning, so.
Okay, it'll start at 11:30.
This one's about to end right now?